Ukraine comes under fresh attack as 12 more grain ships leave the country without Russian security guarantees. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. President Vladimir Zelensky's office says there have been massive Russian strikes this morning on critical infrastructure across his country. Kyiv's mayor says parts of his city are without power and water, and residents have been told to shelter. Over the weekend, Russia pulled out of a deal allowing Ukrainian grain exports to leave the country. The decision came after Moscow alleged one of its cargo ships was attacked by a drone. The UN has been scrambling to salvage the grain deal, which has allowed almost 10 million tons to leave Ukraine since July. A dozen ships then have left the country this morning, but there are questions about their safety along the humanitarian sea corridor between Ukraine and Turkey. The BBC's Julian Bedford has more.
The UN has been pulling out all the stops to try to extend an agreement they see as vital for the global food supply. The Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, cancelled a trip to hold talks with all parties, and it would appear that an attempt to continue transits is to be made on Monday. How Russia will react is uncertain. It says it can no longer guarantee the safety of international shipping following the attack on its fleet on Saturday. But with grain prices on the rise again, the UN clearly believes the cost of not acting is too high to pay.
That's Julian Bedford reporting there. Well, as worries about whether grain ships will continue to make their way to countries in desperate need of supply, wholesale prices are on the rise. Chicago wheat futures are up nearly 6% this morning. Checking some other numbers, the Shanghai Composite Index sank nearly 0.8% today after data showed factory activity there contracted this month. That was caused in large part by strict COVID-19 lockdown measures. To Brazil now, where world leaders have congratulated President-elect Lula da Silva on his election victory. Speaking to supporters after a narrow victory on Sunday night, Lula said the time has come to restore peace between opposing views that divide the country. The BBC's Katie Watson has more from Sao Paulo.
Shortly after his victory was confirmed, Lula gave an address.
From the 1st of January, there won't be two Brazils. We are one. We don't want to fight anymore.
Just like the old days, this was the man who lifted millions out of poverty, a man who subsequently fell from grace over corruption scandals. This is a political comeback like no other.
The challenge is to rebuild this country in all of its dimensions, and most of all looking after the most in need.
But half of Brazil doesn't want Lula. His toughest job will be ensuring he's president for everyone. Felipe is a Bolsonaro supporter.
I think he has a lot of flaws, but he's a man of God. He has like the right principles, and he's not the biggest thief that ever exists in Brazil.
I vote Lula because thanks to him, I went to university. I think he's much more supportive of the poor than Bolsonaro.
It's time to go, Bolsonaro, the crowd shouts. But Bolsonaro's legacy will remain in Congress. Lula will have to contend with conservative lawmakers in whatever he wants to do.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson reporting there. Judging from the number of decorated houses in my neighborhood, Halloween is quickly becoming a much more widely celebrated holiday this side of the pond. Lower Drayton Farm grows several varieties of pumpkins and hosts families who want to carve their fresh picks. Richard Bauer helps run the farm and explains how much his Halloween business has boomed.
In 2017, I said that to my father, I wanted to plant some pumpkins. He said, you're not going to plant any pumpkins. We had a bit of a typical father-son farming relationship. We planted 2 acres of pumpkins on a wet area of a field. This year, we've gone up to 20 acres, so hopefully up to 30,000 visitors are going to come on the farm this month. And I think we'll probably have about 60,000 pumpkins. We grow 8 different varieties of pumpkins, so everyone's got all the different choices, the white ones, the goose pimple ones, the big ones, the small ones. We're in one of 4 carving tents here on the farm. People buy a ticket before they come, they get entry to the farm and they get to go home with a pumpkin, but we offer them the opportunity to actually carve the pumpkin on the site, so increases the dwell time. They buy some pumpkin soup, they buy some coffee, they buy some tea and cake. Once you get past Halloween, the pumpkins are almost worthless and nobody wants them. A charity comes in, and any pumpkins that are left over, the charity come and harvest them, and we send pumpkins to food banks all around the UK. We're part of actually a network called National Farm Attractions Network, and there's about 300 farms around the UK that open their doors to the public like this, and we all share ideas. A lot of those farmers actually go over to America and go to the conferences over there. It seems like we're about 10 years behind the Americans on Halloween at the moment. We've gone more down the family theme with the pumpkin picking, but some have gone down the zombie farms and the terror farms. We've actually had a few Americans visit us, but the one thing that they haven't seen in America is we do our pick your own potatoes here, pick your own carrots, pick your own sweet corn, and we're actually vending milk here in a milk vending machine from one of my neighbour's dairy herds as well. So yes, we are copying the Americans, but maybe we're just doing it our own little way as well.
That's Richard Bauer from Lower Drayton Farm there. Well, the cost of living crisis might be high on people's minds, but Refinitiv data show after 2 years of the pandemic, Halloween spending is surging this year, and candy makers are set to cash in big. Hershey's is expected to see a 64% increase in fourth quarter earnings from pre-pandemic levels. The only question tonight is, are you the fun size or full size candy bar house on the block? In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report. From the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.